Did I press the button right?
Yes, I did.
Hang on. All right. Good morning. I think we're all set. Hope you're all set. Hope you're enjoying this last bit of winter before the summer. I suppose that's what's next. Hey, look, we've actually got a bit to cover. It's going to be fun to cover it. And I'm just going to trust that God speaks through the passage and our time together. But very quickly, I want us to reflect on the fact that since the beginning of time, communities of people have been getting together to do all kinds of things, all kinds of incredible things. Right from the start in Genesis 11, even with the Tower of Babel, even though the goal was somewhat misaligned, the level of cooperation and teamwork seemed very impressive. And then, I don't know if is anyone here into pyramids? Is there anyone who's like down the rabbit hole of the pyramids? I'm not down the rabbit hole of the pyramids, but every time I see a documentary on the pyramids, I find myself, you know, kind of staying on that for the next half hour. And it is quite fascinating. Just the amount of engineering and cooperation and mathematics and all that kind of stuff. Very impressive. Lots of people working together to make something happen. On large building sites today, you have hundreds, sometimes thousands of tradespersons, each playing their part and making their contribution to bring this fulfillment of the end goal, this completion of the building. And we see the same thing with sport, except most people who participate in sport of some sort would say that they do it for the fitness, or they do it for the social aspect, or they do it just because it's fun. At some level, though, or at some point, for some people, it's not about fitness anymore because they're elite. They're very good, so they end up on, you know, the Socceroos or the Matildas, or they end up on a top-level AFL team. It seems that the local Central Australian Footy League, A-grade men's and women's, you know, like they're there to win. Like they might be having some fun, but they have much more fun when they win. Whereas at a lower level, you can have fun, like my daughter, who often loses netball like 100 points to about 4. She still has fun and she loves it, you know, which is great. So, but anyway, there's all these people that have to play their role at this elite level to win the premiership. Now, as good as one player is, they cannot do it on their own. They also need the coach, the off-field stuff, all this thing. So all these settings, any context you can think of where it takes lots of people to do something good, there's this amazing culture of accountability and continuous improvement. And what's interesting is they seem to have it really together around those things, even though at the end of the day, even though the goals do matter, they are, at the end of the day, mostly temporary in nature. So as we look this morning at Galatians 6, 1 to 10, I actually want to look at Galatians 6, 10 to 1. And what I mean by that is we're going to start with the end in mind, and we're going to move backwards through this passage this morning. And so verses 9 to 10 says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." So these verses, alongside other key verses, say from Matthew 28, where Jesus says to go make disciples of all nations, or in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus commands us to love God with all our soul, strength, and mind, heart and mind, sorry, and love our neighbor as ourselves. In John, Jesus says, "I've appointed you to go and bear fruit." You know, like there's quite a number of passages, but these are like these big picture instructions to followers of Jesus in terms of, you know, if we ever were to forget, what are we doing again? why are we here again? what is this all about ultimately? We have these instructions, this life-changing, in fact, neighborhood-changing, nation-changing direction and purpose to align ourselves to. The most important and restorative thing going on in the world today is the good being done, big and small, by the local church around the world. Full stop. Local communities of faith made up of ordinary people like you and me are the hope of the world. It is the only plan that Jesus had in mind in regards to how his ministry would continue in the world to the entire world following his resurrection and ascension. No government is in control of it. No business model can explain it. No AI bot can predict what it will do next, because it is ultimately the very Spirit of God who is breathing life into it. It is the very Spirit of God who is the one giving direction to it. It is the very Spirit of God who, through the local church, is scattering so much spiritual seed in the hearts of men and women across the earth that at the proper time, there is no doubt of a great harvest that glorifies God and sees the kingdom of God established and blessing and touching every heart and every life. So it is so easy to forget the bigger picture sometimes, but this is the big picture. And I'm guilty of that all too often. So much of what the prophets would do for the Israelites is they just help them remember. They'd remind people about who they really were. They'd remind people about what God is truly like and what's actually going on around them in their time. So as we look at this passage in this Gathered series, let's remember we gather for a purpose, not for some small, insignificant reason. We are gathered by a loving God into community for a life-changing, neighborhood-changing, nation-changing, redemptive purpose. We're gathered because the task of doing good to all people, as these verses in Galatians were calling us to do, the task of making disciples of all nations, the task of loving our neighbor as ourselves, it's actually impossible to do on our own. So we're gathered to do those things together for the sake of the world. And that is by design. Ephesians 3 verse 10 says, his, as in God's, intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Now, that's a mystery in there, and that's a whole sermon in there. But isn't that encouraging that by design, God's intent was that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known? Far out. So, mysteriously, as epic as the task is, I hope I've sort of convinced all of you that yes, you're right, I can't do that on my own. And I probably shouldn't try, because that would be a recipe for burnout. And a lot of discouragement. So mysteriously, as epic as this task and mission is, or this purpose is, our individual contribution, mysteriously, is very simple. Galatians 6, 7 to 8 says, do not be deceived, God cannot be mocked, a man reaps what he sows. For whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. In John 6:63, Jesus also said, Jesus' words, not mine, the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I've spoken to you are full of Spirit and life. Now, interestingly, Paul, when he was writing this letter to the churches in the region of Galatia, he was writing to both non-Jewish new Christians, new followers, so Gentiles, as well as Jewish followers of Jesus who are also new. Everyone's new at this stage. Everyone's working it out. Everyone's excited, but they're working it out. And what was interesting is as they're taking these baby steps, even though for the Jewish believers their faith was genuine, they had a real challenge in separating out or separating themselves from a lot of their cultural customs and ways of feeling like they were doing the right thing before God. And not only that, this was not only, you know, kind of a concern for the Jewish believers. They assumed the role of making sure or trying to make sure that the Gentile believers also stopped eating certain foods, also were circumcised. Like, can you imagine being a Gentile believer at like 30 or 40 years old? And these Jewish guys are saying, well, hey, you're almost there, mate. Just go see that guy over there. Anyway, let's move on from that image. But what I'm trying to say is that there was this subconscious sort of legalism that came, even though it came out of good intent, it was becoming a stumbling block to justification by faith, to the actual good news about what Jesus had done. So Paul here, when he's talking about or warning the Galatian believers not to sow to the flesh, he's speaking to both the Jews and the non-Jews in this one verse, but in quite different ways, possibly, in that for the Gentile believers, to not sow to the flesh was probably more about leave behind the idols, leave behind the drunkenness, leave behind the sexual immorality, like that kind of, that kind of thing. Whereas for the Jewish believers, to not sow to please the flesh in many ways meant letting go of the lists of good things that they used to do to be justified before God and actually just trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And there might be various people in this room who would identify more with one or the other. And regardless, coming back to what is our individual part here? Well, one part is to not sow to the flesh, and then so the positive or the encouragement is to sow to please the Spirit. So we're warned to not sow or put energy or emphasis or focus into pleasing the flesh, but this invitation as an instruction as to how we make our contribution, our unique contribution to this really big picture, quite epic, but literally life-changing and eternal purpose of the gathered local church, our part is to sow to please the Spirit. That's different, potentially, from what some of us grew up with, where we were told that our contribution was to make sure you're always on the church roster. Or the contribution was to make sure that you have a quiet time every single day. Even though a quiet time, if you know what that is, it's actually a really good thing to do. But at what point does it go from a good thing to do to, oh, I'm further away, I feel further away, oh, I'm missing the mark because I missed a couple of days of my quiet time. And yet we have a father that literally loves us like a father. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think he's got that list going on in his mind. There's a book of life. There's not a book of quiet time compliance. All right. So, anyway, I think you get what I'm trying to say. So, whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So, what this is saying is, put energy, emphasis, and focus into pleasing the Spirit of God that dwells within each one of us. That is the same Spirit that dwells in Gav and Ian and the elders of the church. It's the same Spirit that is given to the most hardened criminals the moment they put their trust in Jesus and that heart of stone becomes a heart of flesh again. It is that same Spirit that's given to alcoholics, upon their confession of faith in Jesus. It's the same Spirit given to broken people who sit at Jesus' feet for healing. Whoever sows to please the Spirit ultimately will be led by the Spirit in the big and small things. And if all of us are doing that with the quirks of our background and our personality and our gifts and abilities and where we find ourselves physically present on the earth at any given time, we can trust that we are making a positive contribution towards these big picture goals of doing good to all people, of disciples being made in from every nation, etc. So, this is interesting. If that is the basic contribution or enabler, or the building block, Peter described us as living stones. Another picture, word picture. So, if that's our individual contribution as a part of the gathered body of Christ, fulfilling its redemptive purpose in our local neighborhood and the world, then also, interestingly, walking by the Spirit is not just about what we get from that. It's not just about how we benefit. It's actually like there is a little bit of a responsibility or a shared load in terms of it also impacts those people around us, whether or not we're sowing to please the Spirit or not. So just a quick question. Instead of living on autopilot, which I'm guilty of often, driven by the societal culture that we are most familiar with, regardless of your cultural background, in every culture, I'm positive this is true, even though it's not a verse in the Bible, in every culture there is beauty and brokenness. There is an imprint of literally like the character of God. In every culture, there's good in every culture. But you know what? There's also brokenness and there's sin and there's things that got we needed in, I'll say needed, yeah, into the culture that frankly need to be redeemed or just like left behind. And that's for everyone to work out. And we all carry that, even though if you're in the dominant culture in any area, it's even harder to notice or see. So, what would it look like to sow to please the Spirit more and live out the culture of heaven? Because that's what we're told in Philippians, if my memory serves me correctly. We are told, you are citizens of heaven. Not after you die, you will become a citizen of heaven, the passport gets there. You know, the moment that the Spirit of God dwells in you and you put your faith in Jesus, you and I are citizens of heaven. Even though we've still got some time to do here and some things that God has in mind for us to do here. Okay, this brings us to the first half now of this morning's passage. But before we do that, I need 8 volunteers. Great, Asher, thank you. I'm glad you're keen. But we need 7 now. So, Asher, come up quick. It'll be Daniel. Good on you. Good on you. Well done, Matt. I reckon we'll do it down here, actually, so you don't even have to get on the stage. So we need 5 more. Good on you, Mark. I promise it'll be fun. That's the way. Best dad ever. Absolute legend. Good on you, Alex. Okay, how are we doing? We can have slightly more. Yeah, okay, everyone who's wonderful. Okay, thank you. Now, what I need you to do is to line up on half. So I'll split you in half. One group of you is going to line up like this, facing this group who's going to line up like this. Yep, simple enough so far. Great. And then what we're going to do one at a time is we're going to have some public confession of sin. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. No. Okay. I've got to be careful with this thing. It's very delicate. And if we're unlucky, it could even float to the ceiling. This is a helium stick. Have you guys ever seen a helium stick before? It is epic. It's a very light stick. It's filled with just enough helium that it should be able to be lowered to the ground just by the you know how like everyone's skin's got a little bit of friction or yeah. So I'm going to place it. So you need to put your fingers out like this, two of them, both of them. Yeah. And then you need to be in one line because I'm going to place it on you. You're going to make, yeah, that's the way. Oh, you guys are so quick. No, like what, best dad ever? And sorry, mate, what's your, what, like what Rob and, yeah, and Matt, no, like what Rob and Matt had done. Great. Okay, great. Yeah, and you, yeah, that's good. Okay. Now, the person I bought this helium stick off told me that if you can lower this to the ground while all of you are still touching it, so this is your task. You've got to lower it to the ground while all of you maintain contact with it. Okay. No, people get a better view like that, I think. Anyway, long story short, if you do that, all wars will cease. Hunger will be solved. No, helium. Helium. So no pressure. It's not a tempo. I can promise you it's not a tempo. All right. So I'm going to put this on you. And then once it's all resting on your fingers, you've all got contact with it. I reckon you can do just one finger. Is that all right? Is that okay? As in, sorry, everyone's two fingers. Sorry, at the end, yeah, one finger. It'd be easier. It'd be, yeah. Okay, I'm holding on now. I've got my hand on it so it doesn't float up. Now your fingers must stay on the bottom. You cannot, it's only that I've got my hand on top of it. Because if I take my hand off, see how it wants to float up? All right, okay, so let's move it back down together, make it a bit easier. Let's give you a free foot. Okay, all right. Now I'm going to take my hand off. Asher, hands on. Now if your fingers come off, I will intervene. My job is just to make sure it doesn't go up to the ceiling, all right? Like if I see it floating off, I'll... Okay, ready? 3, 2, 1. Does everyone have contact? Oh, no fingers above. No fingers above. No. Whoa, we're losing. We're losing it. Okay, bring it back down. We're not going to stay here till you get this, but if you get it in the next minute, that would be really good. Good luck. Okay, ready? Okay. It's still going up. Oh, don't break it. It's still... Okay. Let's give a big round of applause. Well done, everyone. That was going to take way too long. But well done. And the reason we had a bit of fun with that was because of... And look at these verses now. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions, and then they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to anyone else, for each one should carry their own load. So friends, collectively we have the most important... Oh, awesome. Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah, we'll quickly read it out. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Do not be scared and do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And you filled in all the gaps perfectly. That was awesome. Well done. So we've got the most important redemptive purpose on the planet. And to give us the best chance of fulfilling that purpose, we want to be a gathered people that are, most of the time, as much as possible, walking by the Spirit. We need each other. And with that as the context, there is so much wisdom and benefit in both doing our part and being responsible for what we can contribute. Oh, what did I do there? I did something good there. Oh, I switched the whole thing. Sorry, I'll need your help to fix that one. You're a legend, thank you. Okay, so each one should test their own actions. They can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. But each one should carry their own load. So there's this kind of you know, there's this aspect where we should do what we can do. We should not just leave it to everyone else. We've all got something, a role to play. I've heard it said elsewhere that actually we were actually created to bear a burden. It's actually really bad for our mental health if we don't bear a burden of some sort in life. Like, there's something innate in being a human. Now, it doesn't mean that we want all the burden in the world that we can't handle, but there is something about the importance of bearing a burden. So I just want to encourage you that regardless of your age, background, interests, hobbies, things that have gone well in life or things that have gone poorly, you have a part to play. Like, you literally have it. Mysteriously, in the middle of Australia, in Imbangwa, Alice Springs, you've got a part to play amongst not just this community, but the broader community, of faith in Alice, even the nation and the world. There's something for all of us to do and contribute. So while that's going on and we're looking after that, these verses also say, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin or trapped in some translations, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you'll fulfill the law of Christ. So back to the helium stick. Everyone had a role to play. It was very simple, actually, even though you made it look very hard. But at some point, you realize that the longer that goes, it's just about communication. That whole thing works when people understand how to give direction as well as how to receive it. And together as a team, you can get it to the ground. Except, you know, of course, unfortunately, all wars haven't ceased yet by someone doing that. But that's an issue with the helium stick itself, not an issue with the team that gets to the bottom. But I suppose, just honestly, in all the times I've seen that done, I've never seen it lowered to the ground in silence. Like, that would be amazing. That would take a lot of practice. I've never seen a premiership winning side of anything win silently. Performing requires talking. Oh, sorry. That was just for me and Phil, the 2022 premiership winning team. So I don't know how that got in there. Sometimes the hardest but most necessary work is talking. So very practically, how can we improve our communication to support one another in continuing to live by the Spirit? Now, I did not say, how can we improve our communication to support one another in ticking all the behavioral modification lists? Right, let's take one step back and just stick with what the scripture says. It's just about continuing to live by the Spirit. Now, let's see. Let's have some ideas. Oh, that's cool. This image cannot currently be displayed. It says one there. Invest in relationships, know others, and allow yourself to be known by others. And it's so easy to say that, but I'd say that in 2026 in Australia, that is actually a really big challenge. I'd also say that in 2026 in Australia, that the older you get, the harder that is. And that's only my experience. I feel like I've got to work now a bit to continue to be known by my friends, to be really known. It's easier to talk about the good news rather than the hard news. It's easier to talk about where we're kicking goals rather than where we're not kicking goals. So I really want to encourage us to think about how might we know others, but also allow ourselves to be known by others. The closest five friends that you have in life will influence your heart and mind more than anything else in the world. That's a fact of some sort. I should have brought up the research paper or whatever. That's been known for a very long time. So you do need to pick those friends carefully. Like, are they inspiring you to fall more in love with Jesus just by who they are and how they orient their life? Or are they actually tempting you to kind of settle for something way less than what Jesus has called us to? I'm not saying here that you have to cut people off, but maybe you have to bring some more people in. I love hanging out with my trail running mates. But I've got to be aware of who's influencing who. The community we surround ourselves has a huge impact on what we consider to be normal. Those five people will play a subconscious role in your life about what you consider to be normal goals, normal behavior, and normal things to give your life to. So the best way to do something a bit counterintuitive and very countercultural, like living by the Spirit, is to be around others who are doing their best to live that way too. Observe how they react to bad news, to being treated unfairly, to being interrupted, to uncertainty, to suffering. So when we're friends with other believers who are on board with the big picture that Jesus has given us, the good thing is that most of the conversations we have are going to be full of encouragement and full of, you know, positive influence and all that sort of thing. But the other good thing is that if there's already a relationship there, we can have a hard conversation when needed much more easily. And so invest in those relationships. I want to encourage us to take the initiative. Rather than wait for a brother or sister to point something out, particularly if you know that you're trapped by a sin here this morning, you will reduce the power of that sin over your life markedly just by asking a trusted friend for some support in overcoming it or putting some practical measures in place. The enemy wants you to feel alone in a room full of people that care about you. And I'm not just talking about this room, I'm talking about small rooms as well. You can be in a room full of people that care about you sometimes and still feel so alone because of the secrets that we keep here. You don't need to be alone. A little bit of courage, openness, honesty will make a massive difference. It just starts with, hey, mate, don't know if you know, but I'm actually really struggling with this. You probably don't know this about me, but actually this has been going on for too long now and I'm sick of it. And I've done that a number of times throughout my life with some of those close friendships in my top five, and they can be a vital circuit breaker and a genuine help. But I would say the older you get, it feels like the more courage it takes. Oh, I'm in my 20s. I've got my old plates on. In your 40s, shouldn't you have it all together by now? Well, I don't. And I know all of you guys don't, because I've lived long enough to understand that actually even in your 60s, I've got to be dealing with stuff and wrestling with stuff. So that's just life, isn't it? But it can be better in a gathered community, and we can be proactive. I want you to think about, how could you voluntarily put yourself in a space semi-regularly where you have an opportunity with a close brother or sister to examine your heart and your underlying attitudes? So I'm not talking about going through a list, unless you love lists. I'm just talking about a quality catch-up, a cup of tea, if you drink tea. How's your heart going? I know that thing happened at work, you were treated so unfairly. Is there any bitterness there, or you're okay? You know, whatever, you know, I'm just hypothesizing there. I joined a small group this year after a few years of not being involved in one, and it has been so great for that. It's not an accountability group at all, it's a love group. We meet in a lounge room, we talk about life with the Bible open a lot of the time. We pray for each other. Now, just a couple of months ago, like, God just spoke to me. He said, Simon, you've been on autopilot in these areas. You know, Simon, you've been living to the subconscious societal norm without keeping me involved in the conversation. And just from that, I was able to open up some really important conversation with God about those areas of my life. Not for everyone, but every 4 to 8 weeks for the last 12 years, I've been catching up with a person called a spiritual director. Sounds a bit hooby-dooby. Once again, it's not accountability. It's literally a space where God, we just trust that God's there. It's a space where, more than most spaces for me, God seems to speak very deeply into my life. And it just helps me keep the main thing, helps me stay closer to God than I would be otherwise, definitely. The spaces that help me pay better attention to the condition of my heart. And I also find gathering here on a Sunday super handy. I always learn something, and even if I don't, I feel like I'm blessed by the act of worshiping God in this way, in this corporate way. Sometimes, though, I hear something that I really need to hear, and God changes the trajectory, gives me like a little shepherd, bump you back on course. So Sunday is also really important. But anyway, just encourage you to think about that. Let's get to the interesting one. If you notice a brother or sister trapped in a sin and you're not sure if you should be the one to say something. Now, on the Connect portal, what you can do is you can anonymously just put that person's name and the sin, and Gavin or Ian will catch up with them. No. Seriously, I'm joking. Seriously, it doesn't work. I put my wife's name down there a few months ago and no one contacted her. Okay, that would have had a bit of a giggle. How are you going to approach this? Because you're not going to do that. That is not what the Connect portal is for. One, do you have an existing friendship? So as much as I would appreciate, I honestly don't think I'd mind, you know, kind of some kind of spirit-led brother or sister who's a complete stranger coming up to me and saying, hey, God just put this on my heart and, you know, you can test this. But, you know, I wouldn't mind, you know, that would be a very confronting thing, but it would be like, wow, God, you care that much that you got a total stranger to confront this thing in my life. But generally speaking, this is about, do you have an existing friendship? Like, what's the relationship like already? Do they already know that you care about them as a person and just love them for who they are? Number two. Oh, sorry, there's another thing here. Very, very good. Pray. It's an important conversation. Could go any way, and that's exciting. But do you have time to pray first for them, for you? Allow God to speak to you and to them before you've even had the conversation. Check our motives. Is love and compassion for the other person the main motivation? Because sometimes there's certain things, again, that just really like irk us, like littering, right? Now, I'm not saying that it's, maybe littering is not the right example. I'll stick with it though. So it doesn't say in the Bible anywhere. So not, oh no, let's go with smoking. So interestingly, there's nowhere in the Bible that says you shouldn't smoke or don't smoke. Now, there's other reasons. We're not going to have a whole sermon on other good reasons to not smoke based on Bible stuff about your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, and that's not a great use of resources because it costs about, what, $20,000 a year to smoke a packet a day now? But all I'm trying to get at is, is love and compassion the motive, or is it actually just that really annoys us? How can that person call themselves a Christian for 10 years and they're still smoking? Well, maybe God's just cool with it and it's not really a big deal. Or maybe the littering is really annoying. But maybe the same thing, you know. So I suppose it's just about, before we have this really important conversation, let's just make sure that it's just genuine love and compassion for the person and their well-being and their walk with God, etc. And a humble tone and posture, I think that is a good one to go with. And all these other things will help us have that, I think. So, now, today is the day to deepen connection, to deepen friendships, and even accountability with other believers. Like I said before, it doesn't mean cutting certain friendships off necessarily, unless there are, like I know for some people, you can't be with that family member or that person and not drink too much. Like that is a sort of a relationship that temporarily you probably need to put some big boundaries in place. I don't know why it is, but just whenever I hang out with that crew or whatever, I just end up smoking weed. You know, so if we know that about ourselves, it would be good to put some actual boundaries in place for that sort of stuff. But generally speaking, I'm not saying cut off existing friendships, but I'm saying if in your top five you don't have some wonderful spirit-led people in there, you need to add some, and that needs to be a priority. Not just for your sake, actually for all of our sake. That needs to be a priority because we are in a body here. So let's value those brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers that we have in the faith, because we're not playing games here. We are literally a part of the most important and essential thing going on in the world today, the continuation of the ministry of Christ through the body of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your wisdom in birthing the church, birthing the body of Christ. This mishmash of all of us and millions more across the world who have said yes to you, have your spirit living in them, and in big and small ways are doing good to all people. Help us to do that all the more, because Lord, you deserve the glory. Lord, it's a good thing to be a blessing to our friends and neighbors and community, nation and the world. We can't do it on our own. So Lord, please give us the courage personally to walk and so to please the Spirit more. And also give us discernment and courage, and even the gift to be able to encourage those around us to do that all the more as well. In Jesus' name, amen.